Well, good morning. It's always good to have that time of interaction and relating and fellowshipping one with one another. As we get ready to go to Daniel chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 11, 6 through 10 today. We're not going to see a lot of verses. But as we're doing this, I was thinking over my past regarding the situation here. When Muffy and I lived in New Jersey, one of the things that I did as a extra source of income was deliver newspapers. I would, it was the newspaper of record or of the area, and it was. Normally, you think of New Jersey as being densely populated. It is right in the middle third. The top third and bottom third are very rural, and that's where we were at. I would drive 100 miles a day and deliver anywhere from 200 to 300 newspapers. One of the things is you're delivering newspapers, especially on Sundays when you start even earlier. You were going out to get the papers about the same time the bars were closing, okay? So what that means, and you're thinking, okay, you're seeing these other drivers, that wasn't the issue. The issue is the police officers are out looking for people driving. By the way, working at night, that's, if you want to meet your local law enforcement, that is the best time to go out driving. So I would be driving. I cannot tell you how many times I get pulled over. I'm just driving. I'd have police officers follow me four or five miles, and finally I'd get tired. I'd pull over, and this is even before I started delivering the newspapers. I'd pull over, and they would come up. They, of course, pull over even though they hadn't had their lights on. They'd come to the window, and I'd just roll it up. I'd roll down the window, and I'd stick a newspaper out. Are you looking for a paper? And they're no! And they just turn around and leave. So I learned how to handle that. But I wasn't doing anything wrong. And sometimes that would get irritating. I wasn't doing what was right. In fact, it's amazing how accurate you can get in driving when you have a police officer behind you. By the way, it's ironic when you're driving. Do you ever notice that when somebody sees a police officer, let's say it's 60 miles per hour is the speed limit, suddenly everybody starts going 50 miles per hour. And it's not going to be, okay, they're averaging you. Just were going 70. They're not going to average it out and say, okay, you're good. You're now going 50. And everybody slows down because of the police officer. There's times that we can get in trouble when we're doing what is right. Now, there's also times when we get in trouble specifically for doing right. This is the situation that Daniel's faced with. Now, it wasn't the fact that they were trying to get him in trouble for being a righteous person. They were trying to get him in trouble because they were jealous or envious of him. And this is the situation that we see Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. We even read that they were looking to find fault in him. By the way, just as a thought, isn't that a great testimony of Daniel? That the only way that they were going to find fault in him was to find fault concerning him and the fact that he was consistently worshiping God. It was his walk with God that they would have to find fault. By the way, that is going to be something that we see more and more. This is, even though we see there's an envious nature of these satraps that were trying to get Daniel, this is something that is, we can never forget there is a spiritual battle going on. We see that in our country. We see that in our world around us. There is that battle going on. And just mark my word, we're going to see that more and more. When you love the sinner but hate the sin, that's not going to be good enough anymore. If you say that, you can treat someone that disagrees with you with utmost respect and dignity. But if you do not agree, endorse, tolerate, in fact, beyond tolerate, if you're not endorsing and loving the person's sin, you're going to be a horrible person. That is going to be something that's going to mark our day and age. So what Daniel's going through and what Daniel faces here is part of spiritual warfare, and it's something that we will see more and more in our life as we go forward. So just mark it down and be prepared for it. Now, what we're going to look at, let's go and read the verses, and I'll give you the 3 points that we're going to look at. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, 'O King Darius, live forever.'" By the way, if somebody is flattering, you know, if they're effusive in their praise for you or someone, you know, be prepared. There, in Proverbs, it says, "He that flatters with the tongue casts a net at the feet." In other words, he's trying to snare somebody. They're trying to do something wrong. It reminds you of Eddie Haskell, doesn't it, in Leave It to Beaver. All the presidents of the king, yeah, just think of this, you know, 120 of Eddie Haskell's here. "All the presidents of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps, the counselors, the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man in 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. By the way, this will be later when we look in the later chapters of Daniel chapter 6. This, the law of Medes and Persians were very steadfast. That helped them with negotiations. It helped them in a number of things. But even with a law that was established like that, that would limit the powers of kings and authorities, mankind has a way of circumnavigating that. There was a Persian general that had laid siege to a city, and eventually they sued for peace, and the authorities from the city came out and they met, and they had set up a table, and they were over this rug. They'd laid a rug out and put a table on there, and they had set up the articles of how they were going to end up in peace. And the Persian general said, "As long as the earth that we stand upon is here, then we will be at peace." Well, as soon as they went back in the city, they removed the rug because they'd emptied everything out and they had set up a platform. There was no earth that they were standing on, and they removed what earth was there, and they went and attacked the city and destroyed it while they were confident that they weren't going to destroy them. So it was a very strong rule, but they could get around it. In verse 10, when Daniel knew the document had been signed — by the way, that's a pretty powerful statement there — when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber, opened toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So this morning, I want to look at Daniel's prayer life. And there's a lot that we can learn about this whole passage, but I just want, it's easy to blow past this, and we think of Daniel in the lion's den, and that's what we focus on, is what gets him out of the lion's den. But I want to see what gets him into the lion's den. First of all, there's going to be 3 things that we see. First of all, the circumstances of his prayer life here. Second of all, we're going to see the consistency of his prayer life, and then we're going to see characteristic of his prayer life. So let's look at, first of all, the circumstances of his prayer life. Now, again, it wasn't exactly that they hated him for praying, but it was something that they were going to get him in. Most of the time when we pray, when is it? Now, you may have some consistency in your prayer life, and thumbs up, and that's a blessing. We'll talk about that in a bit. But when does our prayer life get fervent? when does it get really down there and serious? Is it not when the problems come in our life? You know, if you're driving down the road and suddenly you hit a slick spot and you go in circles, you can pray really quick and really fervently there. If you have a health scare or a difficulty, it's easy to get fervent there. It's usually when we really get concerned about prayer, and I'm saying this in general, this may not be typical of you, but our human tendency is when the problems arise. What is interesting, there's an irony here. This isn't when Daniel started praying. Prayer is what got him into trouble. It's not what he started doing once it had arrived. So there's an irony of the circumstances here. We're going to talk about different aspects of prayer when we get down to the characteristics of Daniel's prayer life. But I want you to think about something. If you have, my middle son is here, and I'm glad it's not the type of relationship we have. But if the only time that we heard from my middle son was, and he's at college, is it, you know, the phone rings, you see his name on there, and you go, oh, what does he want now? Yeah, well, maybe it does happen now, I know. We did change his battery. He has a 2014 Chevy Impala. I have changed lots of batteries in my life. I have never changed a 2014 Chevy Impala, and I will never do it again. You have to take the engine apart, basically, to be able to get in there. It is the craziest thing. But anyway, if you have a relationship with someone, I can think of someone right now, I'm not going to name the person, but there's a relative of my wife's that the only time there is contact with this relative is when something terrible is going on in their life. That ought not to be the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Now, God does want to hear our terrible things. He does want us to come to Him with petitions. And again, we will talk about that. But that should not be the basis of our relationship. Our prayer life should not be, oh, I'm in trouble, I'm going to God. Again, if we think about that in our day-to-day life, we'd go, you know, okay, I'll help. I love this person, I'll help them. But this isn't a very deep and rich relationship. Our prayer life is something about how we fellowship and how we relate to our Heavenly Father. And again, we read a lot in the New Testament about how God wants to supply our needs. But that isn't the relationship that we should have with our Heavenly Father. Give me, give me, give me, give me. You think of a child and a parent where the child is always going, give me, give me, give me. You think that child is a bit spoiled. We need to make sure our relationship is not one with our Heavenly Father like a spoiled little kid. The prayer life of Daniel's circumstances, again, is just totally opposite of what the typical prayer life of the Christian is. And again, kudos to you and a blessing to you if the circumstances of your prayer life matches Daniel. The second thing I want us to look at is the consistency of his prayer life. Now, we find out that he would do it 3 times a day and he'd open up the windows and he would pray towards Jerusalem. There's a consistency that we see here in Daniel's prayer life. And one of the things that we can think about immediately, and there's always a concern for our type of Christianity of avoiding legalism. It's very easy, and by the way, it would be very easy to misapply the scripture. Okay, you need to pray 3 times a day. The application of this passages here, you need to pray at, you know, before you eat breakfast, before you eat lunch, and you know, these need to be about an hour. We can make an application like that and be a misapplication of this passage. But one thing that we can see here is there is a consistency in his prayer life. Another word for that would be discipline. Let me ask you, how disciplined are you in spiritual matters? Now, that might sound a little odd, and
uncomfortable. Discipline. There's a number of things that we should be disciplined in. One, and this is, you know, what is the, when you say preaching to choir, it's the people that are, you know, here, they're listening, they're the faithful and consistent. Church attendance is a spiritual discipline. There's nothing, you don't get points for it. And none of the spiritual disciplines is God marking down points, okay? That's legalism. You get points for doing the things, okay? Favor points, you get enough, and you get some sort of blessing. I don't know. That's not the way it works. But spiritual disciplines are important. Coming together, gathering together, it's a spiritual discipline. Reading the Bible, we've talked about that recently. Reading the Bible is a spiritual discipline. Again, none of these things make you holier in and of themselves. I did it, so I'm holier. I read the Bible. I read the Bible, so I'm holier. They are spiritual disciplines. Prayer is a spiritual discipline, and we need to be disciplined about it. Daniel was self-controlled. He was disciplined. And by the way, it may be something that is important for you to have a set time, to be disciplined in this. By the way, we have so many tools for both of those. Get caught up here. It's amazing. We can use this for foolishness, or we can use it for faithfulness. You know, you set the alarm on it, but I need to spend some time in prayer. I need to read. You know, it's great even on my phone. I'm sure you guys have it as well. I have more versions of the Bible on my phone than what I have in my personal library. It's amazing what we have. Use it to be spiritual discipline. Spiritually disciplined. He was spiritually disciplined. Now, there's another thing that we see about this consistency of his prayer life. People knew about it. Now, I'm not going to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and read verses 6 and 7. When Jesus Christ was talking about the Pharisees, you know, they loved to be out in front of everybody. They'd stand on the street corner and they would be praying, and everybody knew it, and they would pray as loud as possible, where everybody knew, hey, this guy is really good at praying. Now, this isn't what Daniel was doing, but Jesus Christ would say, hey, you know, rather than praying like that, you need to go into your closet and pray. Now, how do we square these two things? How do we square here? Daniel opens up his window. Everybody knows he's praying three times a day. Everybody knows what's going on. This is it. Why were the Pharisees praying? They were praying to be seen, and they were praying to be heard, not by God, but by man. Why do we pray? We need to be praying to be prayer to be heard and relate with God. That's why we pray. So something, though, that we can see here from Daniel, and we need to understand Matthew chapter 6 in the light of Daniel chapter 6. It is okay for people to see us pray. And it's okay for people to see a consistency in prayer. Now, that's not the purpose of us doing it. It's not our purpose to say, hey, look, I'm a great Christian. I pray, you see me pray. Hear me pray. I can get all the these and thous, every spot where they need to be, even some spots where they shouldn't be. I'm really good at it. That's not what his prayer life was about. By the way, we know his prayer life wasn't about impressing people, because if it was about impressing people, what would have happened when it became illegal to pray? As soon as it became illegal to pray, Daniel, at the very least, would have been closing his windows. And most likely, he would have stopped praying altogether. So we pray to be heard by God. It is okay to be seen praying. By the way, you may have heard this story before. And it's an old, old story. There is a farmer that had went into town for some business, and he went to a cafe and he ordered his food, and he started praying. And there was some roughnecks in the cafe there, and they saw him praying. And they looked over at him and said, hey, whatever pejorative they use him, hey, you country bumpkin, does everybody pray from where you're at from? And he goes, no, the pigs don't pray. So the pigs don't pray before they eat. So it's okay to be seen. By the way, when we do eat and we do pray before we eat, do we sometimes just do it surreptitiously where we don't get seen and don't seem embarrassed? It's okay for people to see, as long as that's not the purpose. He had a consistency. He was disciplined in his prayer life. By the way, sometimes when we set up disciplines for ourselves, it may seem mechanical and it may seem, you know, awkward, but that's because we're learning something. When you learn basketball, you know, if you've never shot a basketball first time, you're going to look pretty awkward shooting the basketball. You shoot that basketball 10,000 times and it's going to start looking pretty smooth. We need to be disciplined and practice in our prayer life. Daniel was consistent in practice in his prayer life. Let's look at the characteristic of his prayer life. Look at the very end of verse 10. In fact, we'll read the whole last sentence here. It says, he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. What was the overarching theme of his prayer? Now, I want to give you some ideas, and hopefully it's helped to your prayer life. But the flavoring, the theme of his prayer life was thanksgiving. Now, we could really take a whole sermon and just spend the concept on the idea of being thankful. But it's amazing here. We have Daniel. He's praying towards Jerusalem. This indicates that Daniel is not in the place that he goes, hey, this is where I want to be. I think he would prefer, even at this point in his life, after spending the majority of his life and all of his adult life in Babylon, he would prefer to be back in Jerusalem. But here, the theme of his prayer life is thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to give you some things that should be in our prayer life here in just a second. But I think that needs to be the theme of our prayer life. Now, there's different categories and aspects of prayer that should happen in all of our prayers and in all of our life. But something that needs to be a theme is thanksgiving. That is something vital and important. It's not just one part. It's sort of the overarching theme. Now, here's something that has helped me in my prayer life. And this is something that you may have heard before. It's not original with me, and I don't think the person that it's original with is probably still alive and living today, because it is something that is a very common and well-worn way of teaching prayer. But if you remember the acronym ACTS, there's a good way to remember how we should pray. And I'll give you the acronym and then we'll go through each one of them. But ACTS, if you can think of prayer life in this idea of ACTS: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So ACTS, these four aspects of prayer life we find throughout the scripture. Now, some of these passages we're not going to look at, but one I do want to look at, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this is on the occasion of Hannah. After Hannah's prayer of supplication has been answered, and she drops Samuel off to be raised by Eli the priest. And this is a whole prayer. And it's an amazing prayer that you take Hannah, this... By the way, think of this. Hannah is being inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, and these are words that are written down in perpetuity. I had never thought of it until just the very moment. We could include Hannah as one of the human authors of Scripture. So just think about that for a moment. But Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 2, we look at Hannah's prayer. And Hannah prayed and said,
My heart exalts the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to be hungry. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and exalt the power of his anointed. There's a lot of theology in there. And that could be, we could spend a Sunday just looking at the prayer of Hannah. That's pretty powerful stuff. One of the things that needs to mark our prayer life is adoration of God. This is pretty powerful and pretty compact stuff. We should be praying to God things about God. Adoration. Confession. 1 John 1:9. Someone quote that for me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've never done a responsive like that. Confession. By the way, think about this with adoration and confession here. We're going to look at Thanksgiving here in just a second. How Thanksgiving applies to those. Adoration flows out of thanksgiving. She was thankful for God's answer to her prayer and adored God for what he did. How would thanksgiving go with confession? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Have you ever seen someone that goes, you know, I just can't forgive myself? Paul's probably ran into that more times than I could, or he could count. Not that we're bad at math. You know, that's sort of, I can't forgive myself. And there's a number of reasons that may be. But one of the big reasons is they don't trust God. He is faithful and just. When we say, hey, God, what I just did, what I just said, what I just thought, it was sinful. Have you ever had that where you want to go back and you go, hey, what I did, you ask again, stop it. Don't do that. Once you've sinned again, stop it. He is faithful. He is just. He's more, much more just than we are. So don't act like we're holier than God. He is faithful and he is just. He will forgive it. Thank the Lord. Confess it. Thank him for his forgiveness and move on. Third, thanksgiving. We're not going to turn to Colossians 4:2. We see the thanksgiving here, but we need to be thankful. That is a mark of our prayer life. Thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Turn to 1 John 5:14, and we'll finish with this. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have requests that we have of him. Supplication. By the way, there's a limitation on supplication. God, I want a 30-room mansion.
I want an indoor pool. I want a 10-car garage, and I want cars to go into each one of those garages. Lord, give it. I'm asking, could God answer that prayer? Yeah, he could. We understand from James there's a problem with that type of prayer, isn't there? We ask and receive not because we want to consume it upon our lust. It is not healthy for us to have some of our desires met because they're ungodly, worldly, fleshly desires and they are not good for us, and God is going to say no. But God is a God that loves to supply our needs. And especially those needs that are going to draw us closer to him and prepare us for eternity. So supplication is a very important part of prayer. Now think about this. How does thanksgiving go with supplication? Okay, once I get it, I can thank the Lord for it. No, we can actually be thankful in the midst of supply, of asking God for supply. Why is that? Because we understand two things. When we ask God to supply our needs, he is only going to give us what we should have when we should have it. We can be thankful for that. Number two, we can be thankful for him saying, no, that is not the best for you. I have something better. So this is an overarching aspect of prayer, is that thankfulness. By the way, I hope if you hadn't heard that before, that does give you a framework for understanding prayer in your life. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And supplication is just saying, petitioning or asking God to supply your needs. Daniel's prayer life is something that is amazing here. We see the circumstances. It's what got him into trouble. Not didn't suddenly emerge once he was in trouble. Number two, we see the consistency of it. He was disciplined in his prayer life. And again, if you're not disciplined in your prayer life, if it's hit and miss, if it's only when circumstances start going awry, it's not good for you to have that type of prayer life. There needs to be consistency in it. If you need to even ask somebody, say, hey, could you ask me every day how my prayer life is? That might be something that you need to do. Because prayer is good for you. It's good for your relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. How's your consistency? How is your discipline in this spiritual discipline? And the characteristics of Daniel's prayer. It was overarchingly a prayer of thanksgiving. That characterized his prayer life. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That is what our prayer should be involved with, but it should just be characterized by thanking God for who and what he is. Are we Daniels? Are we that faithful, purpose-filled individuals? Our prayer life is going to be what identifies that. Our prayer life is going to be something that is going to mark us as someone that is like Daniel. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, it's easy for us to get busy. It's easy for our lives to get consumed with things that draw us away from you. We can get too busy and suddenly we don't have time to pray. Lord, let us not get so focused on life's circumstances and problems and difficulties and get so self-sufficient that we forget to pray. Lord, let us be disciplined in this matter. Let us honor you. Let us have that deep and abiding relationship that is found through a consistent and faithful prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen.